You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Brian Alfred. Brian, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Brian, I want to talk about your work and past and future, really. So to begin with, where are you now and what's happening in your studio?
Right now, I'm in Pennsylvania. I teach Tuesday through Thursday at Penn State. So I have a studio here in my office, and then I also, when I'm home in Brooklyn, I live in East Williamsburg, and I have a studio right only a few blocks away in Bushwick that I work at there, too. So teaching, and Wednesday's my off day, so I pretty much have day to night in the studio here, and I'm working on some new work.
So you have two studios. You have, when you're teaching during the week, I mean, that's kind of a big commute, but you have a studio near Penn State or in Penn State, and then you go back on the weekends and you're working in Brooklyn?
Yeah. So I've kind of set it up so I can seamlessly work while I'm here teaching. My studio is in the art building, and if I'm not teaching and not in class, I'm working in my studio here. And then I have work, you know, whole set up in my studio here. And then when I go back to Brooklyn, I've got my studio set up there. So kind of, it's nice in a way too, because I feel like it gives me a break from whatever I'm working on here to go back to what I'm working on in the studio there. I think at one point of my career, that would have been kind of, you know, disjointed, and I would have felt weird about it. But for where I am now, it works really well.
So let's talk about what you are working on now. I'd like to talk about both studios, but in terms of the future, before we talk about past shows, what's happening in Penn State and Brooklyn? Let's talk about, you know, your studio now. What are you working on there?
Right now I have a show coming up at Miles McHenry Gallery in September. So the first, you know, show of the season in the fall. But of course, you know, I have to start pretty early on that work. So I'm knee deep in a new body of work for that show, which is going to be a bunch of new paintings and a new animation. And I'm knee deep in that. And then I have, you know, a bunch of other things that I'm working on, you know, stuff for like group shows that I've had recently and things coming up. And I've gotten to this point where I always have a lot of projects going on, and I don't know if it's something, I mean, I enjoy it. I like collaborating and working on different things. And I think it's just, you know, over the years it's snowballed to where I've got to kind of edit down all these different projects that I'm working on. Like I just finished, I did two new murals for the Rag and Bone walls on Houston Street and Elizabeth Street in the city last month. So I took a couple of days to paint those murals, and I really like working, you know, in the public realm. It's kind of fun. I mean, it was freezing cold when I did it, and it was, I think, 20 degrees and like windy. So it was tough to do, but it's really fun to sort of get a different kind of response from people from stuff that's on the street as opposed to in the gallery.
So let's talk about the two public pieces or one of them, because it is exciting, and to talk about the difference, and then maybe we'll go back into your studio, but what was the public work? How did that commission come about, and how big was that?
I don't know the exact size of them. They're pretty big. They're probably, I would say, maybe like 20 feet wide by maybe like 17 or 18 feet high, I'm guessing. But there are two of them, and this is the third mural project I've done for Rag and Bone. I had met the owner of the company when our kids were in the same class years and years ago at school, and it came through that, you know, asking me to do the wall. And then so it's just been like every few years I do another one, and now they have a gate on the front on the house side too where they have murals, so I was able to do two this time. In the past it's only been one, and yeah, I just have a lot of fun with it. It's cool to be out in the street and talking to people. And, you know, like I said before, it's a different kind of response that you get. You know, nowadays with social media, it's completely different because you're constantly getting bombarded with people tagging you and, you know, and reaching out to you online and making comments, which is, you know, I think it's fun. It's fun to get a different kind of response in that sense.
So let's talk about what you actually painted and where is that wall exactly? And so that was through a friend or that was a commission? How did the execution of that wall actually come about, or how was it funded, maybe is a better question.
Well, since when I met the owner of the company, Marcus, you know, and they were at that point, they were just starting to do murals on the side of the store, which is on Elizabeth and Houston. It's on Elizabeth, but it's right before Houston Street. And it basically, they just, you know, they pay for the supplies and they give me some store credit and they say, well, you want to do a mural for us? So that's how it came about. That's how it happened. And then I just go down there and paint it. And I have, you know, a former student of mine who's a friend of mine who helps me out when I do them. And the other one, the new sort of wall space or gate space that they do is actually on Houston Street right around the corner from Elizabeth. I painted an image of a sort of pastel saturated sunscape on the Houston side that was actually from an animation still from the show that I did in at Maho Kubota Gallery in Japan. It was called Techno Garden was the name of that show, and that was the name of that animation. So I did an image of that on that wall, and then on the other wall I did an image from a new animation that I had at a group show at the Garrison Art Center in Garrison, New York, and it was a collaboration I did with my friend Ben Radatz, who's a motion graphics guru. He's like amazing. He started up MK12 and we collaborate every once in a while on projects. And the image of that is the desert. It's from photographs that he took of the Salton Sea. And that's what the animation was. It was like animated landscapes of that. So this was an opportunity to take an animation project that I did with a friend and sort of, you know, paint that into this big mural, which is a totally different kind of physical space. So it's kind of, I like, you know, when the work and when images move throughout like digital media, through painting, through, you know, installation and kind of how they're different in the different ways that they're seen.
Yeah, that's so interesting because, in the public realm on the street, it's totally different. And that's that location, Elizabeth, just below Houston, that's a great location too, right? That gets an enormous amount of traffic and people by there.
Definitely. Yeah, more people probably see my artwork on the side of that building in a day than, you know, see in galleries in, you know, 10 years.
Right. That's interesting. So let's talk a little bit about some of the content. I mean, because just so listeners understand a little more where you're coming from with animation and everything else, maybe we should just, we could either talk about the future show or back up a little bit and talk about the show at McHenry called Future Shock.
Yeah, that work came out of, you know, I was thinking about the environment and I was reading the Toffler book, Future Shock, and also I'm a huge Herbie Hancock fan, so, and Curtis Mayfield, so there's the music connection. A lot of the titles for my show come from songs from musicians or albums, and I kind of like the, you know, the triangulation of the idea of the environment with Future Shock and information saturation, and then also avant-garde music and, you know, that kind of cross-pollination of ideas came into this group of paintings and an animation that I did for that show that was, I mean, it was all tangentially related to the environment. I don't think you'd walk through the show and be like, oh, this is, you know, this is all work about the state of our, you know, ecosystem in the world today. But loosely, each of the images was related to the environment in some way or another.
And for that animation... Yeah, so let's talk about that content a little bit and how they were constructed, just to kind of get deeper into that. What were the size of the works there in the McHenry show 2018, and how were they... what was on them? What was the size of those works, and how were they put together?
Well, they ran from smaller paintings that would be, you know, like 12 by 24 inches all the way up to, you know, 6 by 8 foot paintings. So there was probably, I think there was like 7 or 8 really large scale paintings. And then, you know, probably like six to eight smaller paintings. And then there was an animation that I did that was, I collaborated with Logan Takahashi on the soundtrack, and then that was projected in a side room, large scale. So a lot of the images in the animation were also painted images too, so you would get this kind of back and forth between the two. And it ranged from, you know, night scenes in the sky to like an overcrowded balcony with clothing hanging all over it to, you know, a house in the woods, to like a soccer stadium with like, you know, rioting and like flames coming out of it and smoke. So there's a lot of different, it's pretty diverse as far as the imagery is concerned. But in my mind and working on it through reading Toffler's book and thinking about the changes in the environment in our society, both physically and through sort of virtual information and technology, I mean, that was kind of like a theme that I could attach in some way or another to each of the pieces in the show, even if it wasn't kind of like overt or explicit when someone's looking at it.
Right, right. And so you mentioned a little bit in there about them kind of like going back and forth. Did you mean the smaller works and the larger works kind of had a dialogue with one another?
Well, they do, and naturally, but I, more so of the images in the animation and the paintings. Because I really like when I've done it, honestly, I've maybe been doing it for longer than I need to, but I've been doing it for a long time to where I'll show an animation in an exhibit and then also have paintings, and there's some crossover of the imagery between the two, because I like the idea that people are seeing these still images, and they go into this other room, and they're these images start moving, and there's sound, and there's kind of like a different narrative happening through the combination of movement and sound. So when they go back out and look at the paintings, it's almost like they would see them in a slightly different way. And it's not, you know, prescriptive. It's not like it's a literal change or anything, but it's just, I like that feeling of them seeing the images move and then seeing the still images and the dialogue that they have.
Well, that's very interesting. Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit. So they're seeing the still images of the canvases that are on the wall, and these are, I mean, as you've been describing them, and especially in this show, these are figurative and somewhat specific about what's happening in there. The content is readable, but when people are looking at animations of them, is it that it gives them context and then they understand the image as kind of almost a still within the animation, or is it something else?
I think it's something else, because if it were all the paintings literally translated into an animation and that was the only images in the animation were the paintings, then it would just feel like you're just moving each image. But since it floats in and out of other imagery that I'm not painting as well, I think when you look at the paintings, it puts them kind of like as stills in this big world, which is the world we live in, but it's also the world that I'm imagining and that I'm choosing to focus in on. So ideally, that still image bleeds out into the content of the rest of the world. I've always done that even before I did animations. I was really interested in, you know, the gap between paintings. So if you hang seven paintings in a show, what one means in relation to another, not just all autonomous images by themselves. And I think that always happens when you put seven or eight paintings in a room. But I'm really interested in the dialogue between them. So the animation, the sound, and the movement creates a more complex web of interactivity between the images that I like and that I'm interested in and that I want people to migrate into the paintings. I don't know if that works or not. I mean, people might just come in and say, yeah, that was a painting. Look at it and move to the next one. But in my mind, that's what I'm kind of interested in.
And how do, I guess, collectors or collections see that? You know, when work is purchased or acquired, which I assume that it is from a gallery like McHenry, is it often with the animation, or how does that relate in terms of collecting the work?
I don't think so. I don't really. I mean, I honestly don't pay attention as much as I should to who's collecting and what they're buying. But to my knowledge, I don't think many people have bought a big painting or a small painting and the animation as well. It's funny, when it comes to collectors, I think those who collect digital work or video work, it's for some reason it's a different breed of people, or like rarely will someone buy both. I don't know why that is, but
that's interesting, right? It's like
it just is.
It's like different mediums, different worlds. You know, I know artists that are that work in theater, and yet they're also visual artists and are in great galleries in New York City. But it seems that sometimes, I mean, those are more dramatic. But you know, the audience that she gets for a show at the Kitchen or somewhere that's significant in New York is completely different than the audience that she would get for a visual art show, and they rarely seem to cross over.
Yeah, I don't. It's odd.
So that's interesting. With digital media collecting, you're saying, is also like its own world.
I guess, to my knowledge, I think maybe the kind of collectors who are paying money for a big painting, which is not cheap, you know, maybe they're just not as interested in. I'm sure there's some out there or people that do collect both, but I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. I, to be totally honest, too, as an artist who sells work that helps me, you know, afford a studio and to, you know, raise my son and be, you know, and pay the rent and all that. Digital collecting is a strange thing, you know. It's like those videos are out there, and to have that in a collection, it's not a one-off thing like a painting. It's, you know, it's a file. So it is a kind of a strange. So whenever I do sell animations, I hand make collaged covers. And I do kind of like artwork to hold it. That way I feel like I'm selling something to someone that has, like, there's an original feel. There's something there. It's not just like a file on a disc, which I think is pretty lame.
Yeah, that's interesting. So maybe we should talk a little bit about collage, too. And I don't know what's coming up for the next show, but to just frame that a little bit, when is the next show?
September of this year at Miles. On 22nd Street.
And what will be in that? Will there be animations, collages, canvases? What will be in that show?
There's definitely going to be animation and painting in it. I'm doing some collages. I don't know if they'll make the cut or not. I would imagine some will. But I haven't, you know, I'm still in that kind of, you know, in the laboratory, so to speak. So I don't know exactly how it's going to manifest as far as what's shown. But yeah, I'll be working on paintings, collages, and animations. And I have an idea and all that, but I'm still kind of ironing everything out. But it's going well.
And the idea, I mean, you don't have to tell me what the idea is now if you don't want, but the idea, like Future Shock, is it based on a text that you're exploring or a historical idea of some kind?
Yeah, this one coming up has a little more to do with place and experience. I feel like I'm teasing because I don't want to give it away.
That's okay. You don't have to tell me what it is, but just the process is what I'm interested in. So the place and experience is drawn from texts or movies that you're seeing, and then
not at all. This one actually is just me. It's like my experiences. So it's less based in, like, Future Shock was definitely something that I was tying, it was an idea that I was tying to sort of like a visionary, you know, book from the 70s and my relationship growing up, you know, being born in the early 70s and kind of like migrating through information myself and all that. And, you know, my relationship to the environment and all that. It's much more complex in that sense. This one is actually coming from more of my own images that I'm taking and my own experiences. So it's different in that sense.
Yeah, that does sound different. And the animations you'll do by yourself there, will that also be a collaboration?
No, this time I'll be doing it all myself. So sometimes I collaborate and sometimes it's just me. And usually it's the kind of thing where, like, if I've just collaborated with someone, then I'll do a solo one. So, but this one is going to be really long, so it's kind of a more drawn out process.
So let's talk about that process a little bit. You're about to do this animation, or you're in the process of it. How do you approach that, and how do you know when it's done?
Well, it all depends on what the idea and image is, of course, and then it depends. Sometimes I work with a musician, and so there's the music content, which I love. It's different than painting. It dictates a different kind of dynamic and time frame. This one that I'm working on now is silent, so I don't have to worry about that. That's why it's going to be a lot longer. I rarely do silent ones, but this one is for a purpose. And It's animation's like such a different process than painting for me. I mean, it's longer. It takes me longer. It's like a whole different can of worms, which I love.
So I'm comparing that to painting. I mean, yeah, it seems completely different. It's obviously like digital, and you're instead of the tactile qualities of a canvas, a brush, or with collage, the elements that you're using and the surface, there isn't the same kind of surface with animation, and it's it would seem like a completely different process. But you're still coming at it as a painter, aren't you? Or do you see
Yeah, definitely. And I work in layers, kind of like I work in layers in painting. So it's not unlike my process, whether I'm drawing an image in Illustrator to prepare for a painting, or I'm drawing an image in Illustrator to then animate. It's pretty similar. Like I'm breaking all these things down into layers and then building them up. And even when I'm doing animation in like After Effects, I'm doing it layer by layer. So it's actually a pretty similar process, even though the final, you know, the final product is like much different. You know, there's movement, there's sound, it's digital, or there's, you know, canvas and there's paint and it's big and it's still. They're very different outcomes, but in a way they're made in a very similar way, which is kind of cool. I like that. You know, it's like the new versus the traditional or whatever, but it's pretty much the same when I'm doing it. And collage is like that too. I'm cutting out and I'm layering things in a very similar way than I do on the computer. It just really hurts my hand when I do it for hour after hour after hour. I'm getting to the age where I'm starting to feel it, you know, when I do all these collages.
When you do the collages, as opposed to digital, I would think digital, I mean, because working with animation and layers, it's much less taxing on your hands.
Oh, much less. Yeah, I have a tablet with a pen, and it's smooth. I mean, when I'm cutting paper, a lot of times when the collages are bigger, it's X-Acto blade. It's like weird movements. It's a lot of pressure. It hurts, you know. By the end of it, you know, that's why I've been cutting back on collages since, you know, because in the early 2000s, I was doing tons of them. Like, it was my way of drawing. I was doing them all the time. And now it's like my hand is so sore that I'm kind of like I've scaled back.
Hmm. So that's your way of sketching or even thinking that. The collages have a kind of an important aspect. So with animation, which sounds like it's kind of, and just correct me if I'm wrong, replacing collage to some extent. What do you use to do that? Is that an app that you're using for that, or an editing program?
No, I use I draw most of my stuff in. Actually, all the stuff I'll scan in some images at times, but usually I draw everything in Illustrator because it's vector based and I can stretch it out to whatever size I want. And then I split everything up into layers, and then it's almost like a collage in that sense. And then I just move it into After Effects, and that's how I animate. And I like using After Effects as opposed to Flash or other vector-based animation programs because it gives it a kind of a pixel, because After Effects is pixel-based, not vector-based. So it kind of gives me this softness that I balance with the rigidness of Illustrator.
Hmm. Brian, it's great talking to you, and I wish you success in this next show, which is coming up this year, of course. I want to ask you before we go what you're reading at the moment. I'm always curious.
Well, it's a two-pronged approach. Right now I'm reading Turn, which is The Journey of an Artist by Anne Truitt, the, you know, sculptor and painter. I've been knee-deep into this book and reading about her life. And at the same time, I'm reading scores and scores of graphic novels because I'm a juror on the Lynn Ward Graphic Novel Prize for this year, which means I'm part of a small jury that's going to choose the best graphic novel of the year. So I've been sent a ton of graphic novels that I'm taking a lot of time to get through, which has been great. I mean, they're very diverse. There's so many different, you know, styles and lengths and visual approaches and stories, and it's really great. It's been a really fun thing to do.
Thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and work, and I wish you well in the next show.
Thanks so much. It's been great talking to you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.